And I just like you to open your hearts to the Lord working right now. Just come, Holy Spirit, upon us in the name of Jesus Christ. You are at work. We don't always see it. We don't always understand it. But Lord, you are at work. We claim your authority, the Lord Jesus Christ, over each person in this room and in this building, young and old. And we claim the name of Jesus Christ, who is victorious, who died on the cross, who shed his own precious blood for our forgiveness and our freedom. We claim the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ to send upon us the Holy Spirit. That it is by the Father, asking the Father, and then the Father and the Son sending the Holy Spirit upon your people. And we have received your Holy Spirit if we are trusting in you and believing in you as Christians. But we know that the enemy does not want us to trust. So we claim authority in Christ. The victorious one who has risen from the dead, victorious, is seated at the right hand of the Father on high. We worship you. We know you're working. Lord, bring your work into our hearts. Bring us to where you want us to be in that work, cooperating with it. And we pray this in Jesus Christ, our Lord's name. All authority has been given under heaven and earth to you, Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. 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 I want to just mention one thing of a more just a nature. It's good to have Oscar leading us in worship today. I haven't, since I've been here, he hasn't done that. So, Oscar, thank you for doing that. And actually, I'm going to pray for you one more. I'm going to pray one more time. And that is because you're giving your doctoral defense this in February, right? And two things, that it'll go really well and it'll be accepted. Secondly, that after he graduates, he can find a job in Strasbourg and stay here. Yes. Amen? Okay, let's pray real quick. Father, thank you for our worship team. Thank you for Oscar and leading us, and a lot of times he's behind the scenes back there doing the sound, but today he was leading us in worship, and our team was leading us in worship, and what a blessing to call us into your presence. So I pray for Oscar in his defense of his dissertation, that you would bring clarity, blessing, and the ability to communicate what his work is about to those around him and to those who are in authority to pass this dissertation. So we pray for blessing and your effectiveness and his effectiveness, you working through him. And then, Lord, we'd love to have Oscar around. So we ask for he and his dear wife just to be a part of this church beyond his graduation. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And Lord, we ask you for this message to just allow it to be delivered in your power, your authority, and for your glory, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. A couple of things, too. There's a prayer gathering at one of the Baptist churches, the Evangelical Church in, what's the place, Minau? How do you say that? Minau. Minnow. Minnow is that little fish in English, you know, the little fish. Is that right? Am I right, Francois? You know where I'm talking about? And that's Tuesday night at 8, praying for the Muslim ministry, outreach to Muslim. What? Rude. Okay, say that louder. Okay, I'm not even going to try. I'm not even, yeah, that's just... So another thing is, for those of you who don't see my wife, it's because she's in the United States, Estados Unidos, oui. And that's where she is for 3 weeks. So this is my first week, and I've been well fed. You don't need to worry. I'm not going to waste away. I've been eating the casseroles. People have been making me food and feeding me and. I was hoping to lose weight in the next 3 weeks, and I have a feeling that's not happening. So, but thank you for your prayers and your blessing and all of that, and we appreciate it. It's interesting, we're coming to, if you like to turn in your Bibles to James chapter 5, we're coming to a passage of Scripture, and we're talking about Christ being our healer, and I didn't know if Oscar and the worship team knew that was coming, but I don't know if you noticed how many times the word healing was mentioned. And whether or not there was good planning or just the Holy Spirit kind of putting it all together, which usually is what happens, you should notice that that is an evidence of God working in our midst. So just if you need evidence, that's evidence. The other thing I'd say is, too, is when I prepared this message, it was one message, and now I was really wrestling with it. I woke up this morning, and I think it's two messages. And someone told me, that's okay, you can preach it one message, and we'll be here till 4 o'clock. And no, we're not going to do that. So I'm kind of breaking this into two. So if you're saying, if I'm going to read a passage, and we're going to get into the passage a little bit, but we won't get into it completely. So hopefully some of the questions you may have about healing as a Christian will be answered next week. So it's like you have to come back for the sequel. If you want to. But I'd like us to start with verse 13 of James chapter 5. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. And so the idea for us as we look at this passage of Scripture, and I went a little bit farther than the verse 16, is that we come and understand healing. So we've been talking about something called the fourfold gospel, looking at the gospel in its four main aspects and the benefits that flow from that. So the first was Christ our Savior. He is the one that saves you. He's the one that forgives you. He is the one that has given you hope. Christ our sanctifier, or the one that transforms us, makes us more like Him, brings His power to bear as we surrender to Him. And now we're looking at Christ our healer, and the one who heals us, that's both physical and emotional healing. And as we think about healing, this is kind of where we're going to go today and next week. So what does that mean? How would you define healing? Well, here's a quote from A.B. Simpson. He says this: "The supernatural, divine power of God infused into human bodies, renewing their strength and replacing the weakness of suffering frames by the life and power of God." It's Christ in you. It's His work in you to bring about healing. But it's interesting to me that we're back to this thing, and sometimes I think I'm overemphasizing this, but I'm going to overemphasize it because I think we need to overemphasize it. And that is, healing is good news. How many of you think being healed physically is a good thing? Okay, that's good. I'm glad you're with me there. But, and when I say that, both physical and emotional healing are included in this wonderful benefit. And though the actual healing is a wonderful thing, there is even more that makes it better news or good news as well. It is not even the occasion of healing, but it is possessing Christ, our healer, who indwells us with His presence. That's the best news. The best news is that Christ is our healer. Now, the problem with that is that we often go to the benefit and miss the giver. Once it was the gift I wanted, now the giver own. And this is just our human nature. It's about us wanting, we want relief. We don't want to be sick. I mean, when we think about sickness, sickness came into the world as a result of the fall. Read Genesis, Adam and Eve. And as a consequence of sin, we began the reality of death comes. And in the process, somebody once told me, and this is really depressing, by the way, so I'm going to really depress you this morning a little bit, that some doctor, and Diane or some of the doctors can verify this for me if this is true, is that when you're up until the age of 25, your cells are keeping pace and they're reproducing and you're getting, you know, everything's marching along. But after 25, it's all downhill from there. That's the end of my message. I'm done. Are you happy? No, you said, oh no. Hey, I'm 63. The slope is getting a lot quicker, you know what I mean? Is that right, Diane? Something like that? Is that accurate? Okay, biologically, medically? So here's the deal. That doesn't mean your body's not still producing new cells, so don't go to your doctor tomorrow just thinking, I'm dying. Don't do that, because our pastor said I'm dying. So don't. But the reality is we know we get sick. We know we have physical issues, and the older I get, I know that some of those aches and pains are around. But here's the issue for me. The issue for me is that Christ is my healer. It's not healing I seek separate from Him. It's not Jesus heal me, and then I'll get back to what I want to do. It's Christ, your life in me brings healing. Your life in me brings restoration. Your life in me brings emotional health and physical energy and strength to do the work that God has called us to do. It begins with me turning toward God. We sang this, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. It's the turn to follow. It's the turn to live with. It's the turn to be with and enjoy His presence. So if we understand that to be the case, then here's the issue for us. How can we grow in that faith when we have to understand that Jesus Christ is the source of our strength, the light in the darkness, our hope when discouragement comes? Christ is our healer, and we come to Him. If we look past Him, we miss it. The benefit should never be our focus, even as we are thankful for the benefit and blessing. And so I'd like us to consider just the first half of this, which was originally a longer thing, but I'd like to just focus on Christ as our healer. How do you know that to be true? How can your faith be strengthened in that? Well, first of all, it's revealed in the Word of God. It's anchored in the cross of Christ. His atoning work on the cross forever brings the benefits of healing and restoration to us. It's His nature to heal. It's His promise to heal. If you look back in the Old Testament in Exodus 15, as He was talking to the nation of Israel after they had come out of the Exodus and all the plagues that had happened to Egypt, and He was giving them the promise that I'm not going to bring those things on you. And at the end, He says this one really powerful statement. He says, for I am the Lord who heals you. In fact, that's His name, Jehovah Rapha. It means I am the Lord, I am the healing God. I am the one that heals you. Exodus 15, 26. And then that really well-known psalm, Psalm 103, verse 2 and 3, says this, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. That's His nature to heal. And why does He heal? It's because that's who He is. He's a healing God. It's not man's testimony, it's the Word of God. It's He Himself that is our healer. Now the question then comes to mind is sometimes we ask, then does that mean that I'm always going to be healthy? No, it doesn't mean you're all going to be healthy, because, by the way, have you noticed that you're not perfect, and you don't always you How many of you still sin? Don't. Maybe you shouldn't raise your hand on that one. Yeah, come on. Yeah. How many of you still sin? You know, in the past year, once. You know what I'm talking about. I'm being a little silly there, but here's the point is, we're not perfect yet. We won't be perfect until when? We see him face to face. Do we still get sick? Yes. When will our bodies be perfect? When we see him face to face. That doesn't mean there's not forgiveness now. That doesn't mean there's not freedom now and power to overcome our sin and start growing in our faith transformation. And there's also power for him to meet us in our physical needs. So he is a healing God. Secondly, divine healing comes from the cross. Divine healing is a part of the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. It's a part of the atoning work that he's done for us. So we go to Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our infirmities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Now, if you want to know, was that talking about Jesus? Who else was it talking about? But Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 and 17 says this, when evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. Prophet Isaiah, he took up our infirmities and carried our diseases. Our Lord Jesus Christ is a healing God. Healing Savior. So the healing of the body is a benefit that he has brought to us. You look to the cross and his sacrifice. The resurrection proves that he has the power over death. It proves that he's accomplished that. And he has purchased for us the blessing and the resource of his life in us. The idea is that if sin and sickness came into it by the fall, by what Adam and Eve did, also then healing comes in by the redeeming work of Christ. And so as we look at this, and there's certain things it's not. And when I say healing is in the redemptive work of God, there's certain things you need to know it's not. It's not health and wealth, prosperity gospel. If you know what I'm talking, you know what I'm talking about when I say that? It's not name it, claim it, demand it. I'm demanding God to heal me. It's not that. If that's what you want, that's not here, okay? That's not what we believe, because I'm going to talk about that next week a little bit, of why we put that in perspective. But here's the issue for us. It is not that. And all you have to look at the life of Christ is to recognize that. So that's what it's not, but what it is the idea of a relationship. In other words, perfection is not yet, but we are beginning to see a taste of it. The kingdom is not yet, but there is an aspect of the kingdom in our lives now as we live for him. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, when we get to heaven, it's going to be perfect, right away. But on earth, we see glimpses of eternity, glimpses of heaven. So divine healing flows from a relationship. Healing is not something God does to us from the outside. It's the very life of Christ, what he does in us, by his presence, his life. And the Holy Spirit is the agent of that healing. He's the one that brings that healing. And so we need to recognize that's what he does. It also is not to contradict the will of God. We're not trying to get God to do something he doesn't want to do. Lord, heal me. I know you don't want to heal me, but just heal me because I don't feel good. It's not that. God is going to do what he wants to do, right? When he wants to do it, he's sovereign. He's over us. He has all authority. He knows what's best for us. It recognizes the will of God and bows to it. I like A.B. Simpson was his story I have been telling because it relates to the movement that we have had connection to historically. But it's interestingly enough that he himself was sick. He was a sickly child. He was sickly. And he came to God for healing. But the reason why he came for God to healing is he came for God to God for healing because there was more work to be done. And he said, if my work is finished, Lord, you can take me home. But if there's more work to be done, would you heal me? And God healed him. Christ was his healer and delivered him and gave him a few more years to serve. But he made this statement. He says, if one becomes convinced that his work is done and God wants him home, then he should not fight this. And therefore we submit to the sovereign wisdom and grace and mercy of God. It comes from his grace. It is not the work of man. Now let me stop for a moment. Because I do believe that the medical profession, which we have very well represented in our midst here, is an aspect of God working and bringing healing. Now, here's what I mean by that. Especially as we pray for people that go through things, we're praying for the presence of God, hands on the surgeons, hands on the doctors. But here's the powerful thing. Some of you are in the medical field. You approach it as a Christian different than a person that doesn't know God. Amen? I imagine that doctors and nurses and physical therapists pray, who know Christ, pray about what they do and allow the Holy Spirit to work through them to know and to minister. They recognize, the Christian doctors that I've known have recognized, God, I'm not God. I got to watch what I say because this is recorded. But I have known doctors before that thought they were God. And I'm not going to mention any names. They're not in the room. It's 4,000 miles away. But the follower of Christ who's in the medical profession recognizes, I'm not God. There's things I don't understand. Can I get an amen from a doctor? There's things I know a lot. I've studied for years and years and years, right? And more years, right? But there's things I don't understand. But I depend and I pray and I trust and I know that I want to be a servant of God in my profession. So when I say this to you, this is not some denial of the medical profession or medical field or seeking doctors. That's good. We need to do that. But it's a recognition that ultimately we come to Christ, who is the one that gives life to us, and we depend upon him. It comes from, here's the issue. It comes from his grace, but it's also the motivation for healing. Why do I want to be healed? What is the ultimate reason? Now, let's be honest. I want to be healed because I don't want to be sick. Amen? I was sitting here and my throat was scratching a little bit before I said, okay, Lord, what are you trying to show me? I'm going to preach on healing, and I have a little bit of a scratchy throat here. And so I pray, so Lord, I enable this message to come to preach but I don't want to have a sore throat. I don't have one right now, so I'm okay. But here's the point. Ultimately, the reason why I want healing is for the glory of Jesus Christ. I want him to use me and to lead me and guide me. But ultimately, the reason why I want healing is that he might be glorified. He might be honored. All that we said in worship might be true. That this is all for your glory, all for your blessing. Any benefit you give to me, I turn it back to you in praise. I bring it back to you in thanksgiving. And I say, thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Our motive ultimately, our prayer should be this. Lord, I'm praying for a loved one who's sick, or I'm praying for, but Lord, be glorified in this. More than anything, be honored. May your name be praised. It can't be worked for or earned or purchased. It's a free gift of God. Just like salvation is a free gift, so is when we come to him for healing. And so we receive it by faith. Faith is not, by the way, let's understand something. Faith is not something you work up. And it's like I've seen people who are weightlifters and bodybuilders, and it's like they're straining. I think sometimes we, as Christians, think that's how it is to have faith. Oh, I got to get my faith up. I got to get my faith really strong. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go, ooh, faith, faith, faith. Ah. Lift more faith. I was watching a video, by the way, just as a sidebar, that Arnaud, goodness, my brain just went blank on me. How do I forget? Arsene and Anne's son. How do I forget? Arsene, where are you? How do I forget your name? I don't know. You brought me food to take home with me, so thank you. Anne did. You didn't make it. Thank the Lord. No, I'm just kidding. My friend, I'm kidding. My brother and my friend, but he did like 16 bench presses for this tryout he's doing for football of 100 kilograms, 100. That's like he pressed me. Well, I didn't want to tell you how much I weigh, but he about pressed me about 16 times. That's a scary thought, you know. But sometimes we think that's how faith is. Oh, I got. That's not faith. Faith is a receiving. Faith is trusting. Faith is resting in who He is. That's why if you believe He's your healer, then you can rest in Him being your healer and leading you and guiding you in this. Here's our problem. Here's our problem. We're human beings. I've already told you that once. I'm trying to really convince you that you know that. You're not a superhero. You're not something like that. You're just a human being, just like me. And we want to understand everything. We want to have all the answers and figure out everything. All you need, I've been walking a lot in Strasbourg to get from point A to point B. And I just noticed it 2 weeks ago. I've lived here for 4.5 months. I walked by the university, the old building, the library or whatever the old building, the main building of the old university, and all the statues on the top. How many of you ever know? How many of you knew there's statues on the top of that building? You all need to look up. I'm tall. I'm sorry if you're not seeing. It took me 4.5 months. But anyway, I'm looking up and I'm seeing all these statues. I thought, whoa, there's Luther and there's Calvin and there's Melanchthon and there's Copernicus. He's around the corner. He's up there. And there's Schleiermacher, or however you say that. There's Leibniz. Goethe is somewhere around there. I don't know where Goethe is, but... And there's all these philosophers and theologians and all these Zwingli and all of these famous people. If you don't know who they are, do a little history reading. But these are the thinkers. This is the Reformation, the Renaissance, the Enlightenment. We're at the center of all of this stuff. And why is that? Because we want to understand everything. This is the center of rational thought, people wanting to understand everything. And that's our nature. I want to know why. Why do people get sick? Why doesn't God heal sometimes? Why doesn't God answer every prayer the same way that I want Him to answer? Well, that makes sense because He knows better than I do. Okay, that's another story. We have this rational idea that I will not believe in something until I understand it completely. Think about that for a second. There are a lot of people standing at the edge of faith in Christianity not believing because they think they need to understand everything about it to make the step of faith. And that is a barrier because that's not faith. That's not trust. Andy Stanley said this, "You don't have to understand everything to believe in something." Think about that for a moment. You don't have to understand everything to believe in something. I don't understand everything about healing. I don't understand everything about Christianity. I don't understand everything about the Bible, though I understand it more now than I used to, and I'm growing in it. I mean, I went to seminary, and I still don't understand everything about it. But I'm discovering more and more of the grace and mercy of God. I don't know everything about God. I'm glad I don't, because if I could figure out and understand everything about God completely, then that means that he's not a very big God. But the fact is that I can't understand everything. There's the mystery of who he is. It's what he's revealed, and I want to know more of what he's revealed in his word, but there are things I don't know, and that's okay. That's okay. I like the rest of the thought, and it's on the slide there. From the devotional I was reading, I just saw this, and it said, the more we seek him, the more we know him. And the more we know him, the more we trust him. Wow. The more we seek him, the more we know him. The more we know him, the more we trust him. There are people, like I said, the same people who are standing at the edge of belief that are unwilling to seek him because they think they have to know him before they seek him. But he's revealed enough for us to know to take the step of faith and discover it's a journey of knowing who he is. Christ is our healer. I don't understand everything about it. We're going to talk more about that next week and why some people don't get healed, but how does the church minister healing to people? What's the process of that? We're going to get into that and hopefully answer some of those questions. But here's what I want us to end today. I want you to be thinking about that step. You have, obviously, you're here, you're worshiping. You've taken a step of faith enough to believe that God is here, and you're seeking to know more about him. You're seeking to express worship. You're seeking the fellowship with people who are on the same journey you're on. Understanding that Christ is your healer is not as much about healing as much as it is more about Christ. You get that? I know that I sometimes said to myself as I was preparing this, I just keep repeating myself and saying the same thing over and over in different ways. Please forgive me. If this is too elementary, please forgive me. But the reason why I'm telling you this is because I need it. I need it. I need to constantly remind myself it's not about the healing, it's about Christ. It's not about sanctification, it's about Christ. It's not about being saved, it's about Christ my Savior, Christ my sanctifier, Christ my healer. I am on a journey to know more, and I don't understand everything, but I understand enough to know that he's worth following. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. I want to know more of his healing. I want to know more of his love, and I want to know more of these things, but always connected to who he is. And so we pursue intimacy with him in prayer. We pursue intimacy with him in thought, in resting in him. We do studies of him as our healer. I would love to interview some of those statues on the top of the building. I wonder what they think now. Actually, you don't get too much into this in philosophical. Some of them are philosophers. But if you were to ask them now, being that they're not alive anymore, what they wish they'd have done, some of them, and what some of them are very glad they did, was follow Jesus. It's been worth it. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word. Thank you for the power of the message of your gospel. That Jesus Christ, you are the one. You are the one that heals us. And that we can come to you for healing. We can come to you for restoration. We can come for wholeness. But it begins coming to you. It's you. So Jesus Christ, thank you for being our healer. Thank you for coming. Thank you for creating this world. Thank you for creating our bodies. Psalm 139, we are knit together in our mother's womb. You know us very, very well. You know our failings, you know our sin, and you still came. You still came from heaven, eternity and perfection, and you came to be a babe in a manger, to walk this earth, to die on the cross for our sin because you love us, and then to rise victoriously over the grave and over death and over fear and hopelessness and doubt, over failure. You brought victory. Jesus Christ, you are the healer. You are the one. You are the glorious one. You are the conquering king. You are the lover of our souls. You are the one that indwells us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. It is you, Jesus. We come to you. We worship you. We rely on you. We cry out to you. We rest in you. And we bring our understanding and our lack of understanding right now to you and say, Lord, I don't know everything, but you do. Lead me. In Jesus' name. Amen.